Oh, is that bongos?
Oh, those are the bongos, yeah.
God, Jesus so Christ. Much fucking bongos. Oh, do you ever think you'd hear so many bongos on a Jack White?
What we need now is more bongos, everybody. Just keep them coming. Oh, no. Don't step on the computer, Tallulah. All right. Hello,
Every time we do the show, like, as soon as we start, Heather's cat is just asshole right in the camera.
Right in the camera.
All up. Just walking over the recorder, just walking over the mixer. It's her domain.
She needs to make her voice heard. I mean, she wants us to know what she thinks of this album. And it's just a beautiful butthole ring. That's what she gives it. One butthole ring. It is time for us to discuss a very, very bad album that somehow escaped our clutches for some reason, but no more. Today, Stoppies, we are going to be discussing Jack White's 2018 Boarding House Reach. And let me tell you, Stoppies, there is some reaching on this album.
Oh, yeah. It's a big reach. Really aiming for the stars, just throwing everything out there, playing every instrument in the studio, just trying every experimental diversion he's ever considered, without ever bothering to really write a complete song.
Write a song? Yeah. No, yeah. None of that.
But 13 tracks of something. certainly something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. And this actually is directly from a fan suggestion. This is from Jason Grace, dear and loyal Stoppie, who suggested this to us last year. And we're glad we could get it in. That this time it's just me and Mike going head to head, or not really head to head. Our heads are bashing in unison against the table in front of us, because this is a fucking mess. This is mess of an album. But shout out to Jason for bringing it to our attention. Mike, you were talking about how we did the worst of 2018, and this somehow was not on the worst of 2018. So you said you were going to be doing a recap of those songs to see if this would have made it on retroactively.
Yeah, so I do think I think I stand by my worst of 2018 list. I think 2018 was a bad year in general for music. I listened to this album in 2018. It was a strong contender. It was on my short list. As I listened to albums throughout the year, it got edged out. It was close. I'm going to just recap for you, though, the worst of 2018. You tell me if you think any of these are less deserving than Boarding House Reach.
Trigger me, Mike.
All right, so I'll start at number 10 was Fall Out Boy, Stay Frosty, Royal Milk Tea.
This is worse than Fall Out Boy, easily. Continue.
Really? Are you smelling that shit? Are you smelling that shit?
Oh,
de resistance song? Come on.
Yo, de resistance. Yes. Ice okay. Box Zebra or whatever the fuck it Ice Zebra.
Stay Daniel, Frosty Royal Milk Tea.
yeah, Daniel Stripe Tiger, whatever the fuck that song is, it's worse. But go on, keep going.
Tom Morello, How Long featuring Steve Aoki and Tim McElrath.
Oh, that was very bad, yeah. Nope. Okay.
Godsmack Under Your Scars.
Oh, man, I don't know. This is more audacious. This is more audacious in a bad way. Badacious.
Eminem Kamikaze.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
Sting and Shaggy, Just One Lifetime.
I'm a Sting and Shaggy apologist. I would put this. I would come bump on. Out. I can enjoy that shit. This is a bad time. This is a bad time, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. I mean, Lil Xan, Who I Am, we aren't replacing that.
No.
Justin Timberlake, Flannel, we aren't replacing that.
Oh, no.
Tom McDonald, White Boy, we aren't replacing that.
Of course not.
Ironic Punishment Division, Deplorable, maybe wasn't even worth including because it's who gives a shit about
those
guys.
Who gives a shit, right.
And then Broken Side Mueve, worst of the year, I think. Stand by that. Especially in light of our recent Patreon episode, Stoppies. You can check us out on Patreon if you haven't, if you'd like to become a contributor. We have posted our first episode.
Yeah.
First premium primo tent episode where we revisit the first Broken Side album.
Oh my God. And wow, what a traumatic event that was. I'll be recovering from that for a long time. Yeah, we got one of our mega stoppies, Estanis, sent us a message about that, about just how scary they are. Like, it's just like that, you know, he didn't feel comfortable wading through those waters without us. So we're always here to shepherd a young stoppy. You know, we're here to do the work, get in the muck and the mire, so to speak. So I'm not glad or grateful that we could do that for you, because nobody really needs that, but it was 2 hours of commentary. So subscribe to the Patreon for $5 a month, and you can go down that fucked up road with us.
It was a fucked up road. This was also a fucked up road, though. So yeah, no guest this week. We're chopping it up, just us, you know, back to basics episode, you know, the content you crave, Stoppies. we're just recalibrating after an intense March Badness.
Yeah, intense March Badness and an intense, like, personal badness in April. And, you know, it's okay. There's light at the end of the tunnel, folks. We're vaxxed up. We're ready to spit in each other's mouths again. We hung out last night and watched Mortal Kombat. I know this is critical information for you all to know. It's a good sign. There are good things on the horizon. None of those things will be found on this album, Stoppies. It is truly one of the worst things I've heard from, you know, a musician that is so respected and legendary and, you know, really extremely talented. This is quite a fall. It's quite a fall for Mr. Jack Anthony White.
Landing on water territory.
Woof. Landing on sewage, where it's really bad. And it barely can be called an album, I would say.
It feels like a sketch pad.
A sketch comedy sketch pad of like all of the fucking like abandoned concepts. Yeah, exactly.
From the Joker in the movie The Joker.
Oh yeah, dude. Jack White is totally Joker-fied on this album. I'll tell you what. I think one of the reviews I read. So this album came out in 2018. It was pretty universally panned. People did not like it. I can't imagine who would like this. This album, because it really isn't even trying to be an album. It's a fuck you, like, but it's like the laziest fuck you ever. It's not a punk fuck you. It's a like fuck me. I can just, you know, shart on a vocoder and you peasants will lap it up and pay me for it, you know, is basically what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't know. That wasn't quite my read. I think I don't think it was meant as a fuck you.
Oh, I mean, it's a fuck you to convention.
It's easy to take it as one. It's like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if the intent matters or not. It definitely feels like a fuck you, but I think
the impact is fuck you, and impact matters more than intent, folks. Let it be known. The impact is fuck me.
But the intent, I think, was to be like, you know, I'm gonna do all the stuff that, I've wanted to do, you know, like screw, you know, what people expect from me. I want to do bongos on every track.
Want to do white boy funkless funkadelic with fucking, you know, like just these meandering fucking self-indulgent jams that go nowhere with 17 different instruments all played by like you can't do funkadelic without a fucking community of musicians, you know? You're just doing like a session musician and like whatever you can fucking bang out on your like Fisher Price. I made this DIY on the 8-track recorder from my childhood. Like, okay, well, great, good for you.
It's funkademic. It is very like several attempts at funk on here. A lot of attempts at like esoteric, you know, poetic spoken word.
Beat poetry. Rapping? Yeah. There's rapping?
There's rapping.
There's riveting up rapping.
Northern state style rapping. It is a lot. And this is like,
it's look, a lot and somehow I, nothing at all. But go on.
I was a huge fan of the White Stripes. I love the White Stripes. I like all their albums. I didn't ever get too into any of the other Jack White projects. The Raconteurs, I will say, I never got into, but I caught the last like 30 minutes of their set at Riot Fest 1 year, and I regretted very much not catching the first hour of that set because the last third of it was so dope. The Dead Weather, I never got super into, but I always liked them, you know, and the first two Jack White solo albums I've heard are great. Blunderbuss and Lazaretto, they both are like well-regarded albums. So well, he's got a pretty spotless record up to this point, I feel like.
Yeah, and there's something that's different about all those records, and the main difference is songs. So those records have songs. They're composed. They have beginnings and middles and ends. There are, you know, because it's just like I work with kids, right? You can't give kids no fucking boundaries. They turn into little shits, and you know it helps them to give them healthy boundaries and expectations. This is what happens when you have zero fucking boundaries, when you're like, you know, homeschooled and coddled, and you are, you know, allowed to just color all over the walls, and oh, we're nurturing his creativity. Yeah, but he fucking sucks. It's not good.
Yeah.
Rein him in, buddy. It's anarchic in the worst way, in not an effective way.
No, it's one big jerk off. It's just a Oof. It's just fucking around.
It's just
through.
Dicking
There's
around.
A few songs here and there that I can kind of, you know, I'll call them out when, you know, when we get to them.
Well, you'll know because those okay. are the ones that are songs.
There's some songs that aren't songs, but they still have like parts where it's like, oh, that riff kind of slays. But
yeah.
Never everything. I think the word I use the most in my notes was underwritten. These songs are underwritten. They're just a couple ideas with like really weak connective tissue, just like no meat, nothing you can sink your teeth into, just bones and sinew of like what a song could be, you know?
Yeah, fucking stringy as his goddamn goth hair. Like his glamour goth fucking like 50-year-old hair. Like goth Karen. I don't even know how he does it. But anyway, yeah, so what do you think, Mike Dunn? What do you think happened? Like what's the deal here? Because I read a review, I believe this was the Pitchfork review, where the author says, quote, after the Stripes broke up and as he began to dress more and more like Johnny Depp in a Tim Burton film, he started to carry himself like Depp too, a former boy genius soured into a man, an iconoclast trapped in an icon's body. And then there was a Stereo Gum article talking about just how, you know, he's overthinking it. And there's a quote here. He's building compounds in Nashville and Detroit like some kind of manic axe-wrecking cult leader. He's manufacturing baseball bats. He's also watching Jordan Peterson YouTube videos, which is not a good sign.
Oh, no.
So what do you think happened? Are we blaming it on Jordan Peterson? Because I'm happy to do that.
Like, no, I think Jordan
Peterson is a white going his own way?
Is a symptom, not a, you know, not a vector.
Not the cause. Yeah, okay.
I think Jack White just, you know, I mean, fame will do this to a person. We are like broken records with how often we say, you know, not enough people around these artists saying no. And clearly that's got to be the case here. It's just hubris. You know, you get to a point where you start feeling like every idea you have must be worth fucking putting out there. You know, even for however half-baked or underwritten or, you know, smushed together from disparate weirdness, you know, any of these particular tracks is, which they all are, they're mm-hmm. all make no sense. He's lost the ability to suss out which of these like songs or song ideas are bullshit. And he's like, you know, at this point, I've got all these projects under my belt. I've been doing this for so long. This is what I'm going to give to the people because I don't care. You know, to him, it's like, I'm sure he thinks it's like a big move, like
an artistic statement. Oh, he absolutely does. He absolutely does. He said that he tried a new way of songwriting for this album. What is, you couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, I read about this.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Yeah,
he's basically crazy. This is his attempt. This is him channeling like Lil B, like fucking this is based garage, I guess, basement rock. He said, quote, I wrote songs by singing the melodies, connected by love, and Why Walk a Dog came from just singing what was in my head or my gut at that moment. I'd never written like that before. So the translation is, I fucking literally said the first thing that came to my mind and was like, yep, that's it. Done. Complete.
I was going to talk about, I saw a thing that like he wrote these songs, a lot of these songs just in his head, like in a room. Just thinking of the parts, and he was trying yep. not to like hum them or play the parts on instruments, but just
oh yeah, he would just put it
write
in his
the
head.
Whole thing in his head.
There's a reason why people don't do that. There's a reason why fucking talented musicians like you, my dude, play the instruments to figure out songs. That's usually how it works.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's like he's trying to be like that's some like Mozart shit. Like
oh yeah.
From the movie Amadeus when he's on his deathbed just like from memory telling Caravaggio or whatever how to you know what to write in the sheet music as he with his dying words. Like Jack White thinks he could be that dude who just writes a whole album in his head. You know,
and this is the result.
This is the result. This is what happens.
And what I will tell you, Stoppies, is he cannot do that. This is it's really, really, really atrociously indulgent, going nowhere, fucking trash. And if he wasn't already just one of the most famous rock musicians of all time, there's no way that anybody would have put up with this.
Well, like, what's your thoughts on Jack White in general? Are you into his other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I was into the White Stripes for sure. You know, my dad was a garage rock, you know, musician. I grew up with that. I was very excited by the, you know, the White Stripes fucking, you know, the first three albums. We listened to it all the time in my house. I mean, yeah, I the White Stripes are one of those bands that, like, I've always been into. I've always respected. I've never seen them live.
I wish.
Which it's just really a shame, you know.
I should have just done it. They were playing at the Orpheum one time. I remember I almost went for it, but I was like, it's too expensive. It's just too
I know,
expensive.
Dude. Let this like, be a message to all of you, Stoppies. If you
probably
have the
like
option,
$70 or something, you know.
Yeah, if you have the option
like,
to
I
see
never.
Fucking heroes, go do it. I mean, it's they break up and they die and it sucks. But yeah, I was into the White Stripes, similar to you. I never listened to really the offshoots or, you know, but again, it was always like, oh, you know, very well-respected musician Jack White. And I think it seems like he's gone a little bit, yeah, that Johnny Depp trajectory of just getting weirder and weirder. The Marilyn, well, I don't want to compare it to Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, not quite Marilyn Manson.
Not
but
quite
I know,
there,
he's
like,
always been cuckoo. He's been...
Yeah.
He's been cuckoo for a long time, well before Boarding House Reach.
But he was cuckoo with like a level of passion and verve and intention that is completely absent on this album.
And
this
cool.
Is
he used to
cool.
He used to seem cool.
He is not cool, Stoppies.
This is not a cool person making an album. This is a
cry for help. It really does. It feels it's definitely a serious midlife crisis album.
Yeah.
You know, this is his version of getting the Harley, you know, and having an affair.
I just can't figure out was it a writer's block thing where he just couldn't put the songs together, or was it like what did he really think that this was truly better than him just doing regular songs? Like this was going to be the next evolution of his craft.
It's an orchestra of himself smelling his own farts. I mean, and fucking like just breathing deep. I'm going to stretch the limits of my craft. And what you just end up doing is sounding like a really noodly, funkless, joyless, plodding, you know, imitation of like really discarded, extended, you know, Funkadelic Coke jams and like some really limp, you know, Wayne Kramer impersonations. It's not a good look. And then fucking
Wayne Coyne? Scat.
No, Wayne Kramer from the fucking MC5.
Oh, the MC5, sorry.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there is, I also feel like there's some late era Flaming Lips vibes on some of these
yeah,
songs.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Some shit that could have been on Oxy Melody or whatever.
Yep, yep. Similar midlife crisis. I mean, mid-career crisis or end of career, waning career crisis. I don't know, but it's yeah. it's really not good. And then fucking bongos and rapping.
Lots of choices. An album of many choices, let's yeah. shall we say.
Oh, wait, real quick. Can we talk about the fucking album cover?
I Why? Like the album cover.
It looks
like
Sophie.
It's like Vaporwave. Yeah.
It looks like Sophie. What's happening? And apparently, I don't even know what to do with this, but I just read it, so I'm going to say it. In the Rolling Stone article, they talk about the cover image, and they call it, quote, a sort of portrait of the artist as young trans person. Signals the notion of artistic identity as fluid territory. Blah, 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 blah. Fucking Rolling Stone. Blah, 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 blah. And he said, apparently, in Uncut Magazine, I don't feel male or female.
Hmm.
So, they and Rolling Stone's take
trans
is...
Trans icon Jack White.
I don't understand,
showing
right?
Out.
Like, are we doing this? Is this... I don't know what to do
see.
With this.
I don't know. I think maybe Rolling Stone is getting ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the album cover. Yeah, it has like a vaporwave feel to it. It feels like postmodern.
He literally looks stylized like Sophie on it, though. Like the hair and everything and the lighting. And
well,
the,
there's
the
no
look.
Hair. It's clouds. There's
oh,
clouds
cloud
instead
hair.
Of hair.
Ah, yes.
And like mist. I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's not a great album cover. It's kind of corny, too. But
I just wonder, like, it just seems like a tossed off kind of like, is he coming out as trans or is it just kind of like, oh, I want to keep you guessing. I don't know. Whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, I think either way, you know, shout out Jack White. But it's not going to change.
Your gender is the least confusing thing about this album.
If there's a reverse, you know, if there's a transgender dysphoria blues pulled where this album turns out to be about the trans experience, it's not going to make it any better for me.
No, definitely not. No. All right. So here we go. So we're going to get into it. The first song on the album was the single. There's like a video for it. It's not really... you know, worth discussing. It's not like meaningful. This is at the very least a song. So here we go. This
Connected
is-
by Love.
Yep.
Take it away and give it to somebody else. Cause I know we're connected by
It's not the worst. It's definitely not the worst thing on this album. It's one of the few songs. It's probably like one of the best songs on the album. But it's still really boring and like kind of like that weird tuneless chorus that doesn't ever really crescendo into anything. I don't know. Boring is not how you want to start a fucking Jack White album, I'll say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd say he starts strong comparatively. You're right. This is one of the few like songs... actual structured songs on the yep. album. I think it cribs a lot from TV on the Radio. I think it's really very similar if you were to like build a TV on the Radio song from the ground up, like a mashup of all their songs. It would sound something like this, but you know, probably a little better if it was coming from them. My issue was like originally the song was going to be called Infected by Love. I think that would have made for a more interesting hook. You know, I feel like just saying, like, we're connected by love. It's like, yeah it's like too obvious.
Live a life of love. Yeah. Yeah.
Love yeah, connection. Love is connection. Like, sure, great. Love is an infection, I think, more interesting.
Yeah, but they didn't want to do it because he didn't want it to be associated with STDs.
You know, to understand my lyrics, you need to have a very high IQ.
Yeah. There's lots of that on this album.
Yeah.
For sure. There's a lot of, you know, fedora tipping on this album.
But yeah, overall, I mean, I thought there was a nice organ solo and, like, you know, the beginnings of a nice guitar solo. I feel like he should have shredded it out a little bit longer.
Yeah, there's so few shreds on this album.
Good tone, some nice guitar tones, but he doesn't do enough with it.
No, because again, it seems like he took the same approach to the instrumentation that he did with the lyrics. Of just like, all right, like noodle out the first thing that happens and there it is, one take. Like, that's the track, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not terrible. I wouldn't pay attention to this. This isn't, you know, fucking, this is no Seven Nation Army, right? Like, there's nothing that's really like grabbing you in it. It's fine.
Yeah. I'd rather listen to Return to Cookie Mountain, but you know, this is about as good as Boarding House Reach is going to get. Peaks early.
That is saying something, Stoppies. That should make you worried. Should we just jump right on into the next one here?
Yeah,
which
we
is
could
wow,
talk about,
wow, wow.
Why walk a dog?
Why walk a dog?
Why
so,
walk a dog?
So they don't piss in your house? I don't know.
You tell me. Why walk a dog?
These cats seem to blow. Everyone's mine, but mine. What is so funny about beasts above understanding?
All right, I was trying to find, and that it doesn't matter, dude. That's a terrible line.
Well, yeah, that what's so
what
hard
is
to
so
understand
funny
about beasts above and under beasts above
understanding.
So that's the Elvis Costello
of course
reference, right?
Oh
what's
yeah,
so hard,
what's so funny
about peace, love? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Yeah.
This one's got a lot of interesting thoughts on pet ownership. This song is about, why walk a dog? You know, why, you know, are you their master? Did you buy them at the store? Did they know that they were a cure for you to stop being bored? Like,
whoa,
you know,
whoa.
What are you really, is it a companion in your life or do you own it? What's it like to be, like, to have a dog? What does it mean in America, in society, to have a dog? It's boring though, huh? I feel
God,
for like, you know, Flaming Lips by way of David Lynch and like, it's just, but you've got this really weak drum machine programming, just very... very thin drums and like just a really repetitive two chord, you know,
organ dirge.
Yeah, there, you know, there's a cool guitar tone here and there, but like you heard it in that part. It's like that's a cool tone, that gated, like dirty, you know, overdrive. But then to just go with it while like fucking, you know, Pink Floyd The Wall light plays in the background. It's just. It's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, it's like he was hitting the edibles too hard or something. And
yeah,
That's definitely a
whole mood for this album.
It really is. It's just, you know, it's, oh, Uncle Jack's noodling away in the basement again. It smells funny down there, Dad. Well, you know, he lost his job, so, you know, he's trying to figure out his way in life, son. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, it's completely directionless. It's fucking boring, stony, dirgy bullshit. And the fucking central conceit is about fucking these cats seem to blow everyone's mind but mine, baby. You're so fucking different. You're so unique. He doesn't even own a TV. He doesn't even own a cat. Cats aren't cute to Jack White. What the fuck, Jack White? I would watch a million cat videos, 44 minutes of them, rather than ever listening to this album again. So, yeah, fucking Christ. boring as fuck. Just a maudlin parade of self-indulgent, performative fucking prattling. I hate it. I really hate it.
Yeah, I still don't think... I think it gets much worse. I don't love this song, but I feel I hadn't fully turned, you know... Hadn't fully started hating the album yet at this point. I think the worst is yet to come.
I mean, yeah, but I... This is still pretty bad. It's really not... It's not good. This is not aging gracefully, my dude. This is not... It's not cute.
Is these cats... Is this a metaphor for musicians, too? Like...
I don't... Yeah, he's saying,
like, these cats seem to blow everyone's mind, but mine... is he like talking about his like competition? Is he talking about Imagine Dragons?
Yes, he's talking about Imagine Dragons. That have a lot more in common with this album than they should. Particularly the rapping.
I'll give him some credit. This is a shitty batshit album, but it doesn't sound like Imagine Dragons.
That's true.
It sounds like some other bullshit.
The rapping, though, I mean,
yeah,
it does
that's a little more 21 Pilots, I think.
Oh yeah, that's what I meant. same diff.
March Badness champions, 21 Pilots, winner of the Imagine Dragons trophy. Let's not forget, give the adulation where it's due. You know, fresh victory for our boys after a long March Badness.
Yeah.
You gotta make it seem important, right?
Very important.
Keep tuning in. you know.
Critical content. You stuck a price tag on their nose, man. You know, why walk a dog, man? Why doesn't the dog walk you? Like, right?
Yeah.
This is some like unschooling, like Hampshire bullshit. Like,
yeah.
This is just like, it needs to be, somebody needs to walk him. Like, somebody needs to leash him. because it this is what happens when you let fucking Jack White off leash and let him into the fucking, you know, prescription cabinet. I don't even know what it's on. It's a bad combination of too many edibles and like I definitely get some coke energy too. Some cokeadelic shit, you know, with like these are great ideas, man. Like they're not.
Yeah, Jack White is the dog, right? And he doesn't need to be walked, right? He's going
to
go
walked.
His own way.
He doesn't want a price tag.
He's been watching these
nose.
Videos that tell him to go his own way, so he
yeah, right.
has decided to release this album.
Yeah, that's that big Jordan Peterson energy coming in here. Yeah. He's method acting, okay? We're just...
Yeah, he's method acting, yes. Method acting. Oh, I do method acting. Oh, you like get that into the role? No, I just act
do
while I
then.
Am method. I am method the fuck up. All right. We got a lot... To go, we got Corporation up next.
Oh, God. Guys, what if we just start a corporation? Wouldn't that be crazy?
I feel like that's nowadays that's how you get adulation. Who's with me?
Yeah, I'm thinking about starting a corporation. Who's with me? Nowadays, that's how you get adulation. Who wants to start a corporation?
Who's with me? Fucking, oh my God, dude. Yeah, that's worse than Sting and Shaggy, my dude. That's worse than Sting and Shaggy.
Meow. So at first it's like it's this long instrumental section. He thinks he's like James Brown or something.
He's doing James Brown, Wayne Kramer, De La Roca. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound It sounds like he's at the beginning, the whole first movement, you know, there's two movements, right? It's like, it sounds like he's doing like false plunderphonics. Like he's doing something that like the Avalanches would have sampled to put together, and he's doing it with organic instruments. And it just sounds like trailer bait or like montage bait. Like he's just like, it's just soundtracky. It doesn't sound like a, you know, song written with any sort of intent. And then the vocals come in.
Ugh.
And it's so fucking, hey, let's start a corporation.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh, wouldn't that be wacky wild?
Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Wow. Who's with me?
Who's with me?
I'm the Joker.
Hallelujah.
Baby.
My name
is Jack White and I'm the Joker. Why don't we become the Joker together and go our own way?
We live in a society.
Oh god, so bad, dude.
How many fucking sound effects can you use to distract from the fact that you have absolutely nothing to say? Like, just drown out those voices telling you your time is up with more bongos, baby! What was the other album we did recently with all the fucking bongos?
Oh, man.
Jesus.
What? Yeah, who had bongos?
Oh, my God. It was a recent episode. Anyway, generally, bongos are a cry for help. Can we just put that out there? Like,
you should really use them sparingly unless your name is right? Curtis Mayfield.
Absolutely. And you, sir, this is no Curtis Mayfield. I know he's trying to do the fucking Miles Davis, you know. And actually,
he's doing
like,
very much the Superfly soundtrack, Shaft soundtrack sort of thing on this song in particular, with those the pentatonic guitar, like meow 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 meow,
but in the
and all the bongos and the drum breaks
in the whitest way,
in
like
such a
the whitest way.
White way.
You gotta chew out that W. Like that's yeah, dude. Like what the fuck? It's an insult. It's an insult of an insult. It's such a, you know, because that's the thing is like, you know, garage rock in general, rock and roll in general, you can make an argument for any, you know, any white people playing rock and roll that you know, all the roots come from black music. And it is appropriative, right? But it's
right.
not because the
Jack
synergy
White
of
played
music.
Blues rock and garage
right.
rock, you know,
nobody
in his
was
heyday.
Nobody was pissed about that.
No,
but this is where you cross
so
a fucking
gently.
Line, my dude. Well, because you're doing it. You're doing like a pathetic caricature.
Yeah.
It is offensive. That's where it crosses the line from appreciation into straight up appropriation. You're not adding anything. You're just fucking, you're just taking.
I will say again though, still pretty good compared to some of the later songs. Still one of the stronger, I'd say, songs on the album. Honestly.
Yeah, there is
overall.
One riff. There is one riff, and it's the first real riff on the album that comes in at the end of the song. But it still goes nowhere. You know, the riff, and, you know, it just...
Yeah, no, it's not it's not written like a regular rock and roll song, or even like a regular funk song.
Don't try to
song.
Put him in
you
a
know,
box,
it is,
man.
Yeah,
he's
outside
got an eight
the
track.
Box. And what that means
DIY,
is...
DIY, baby!
Is he's writing a song, you know, where it sounds like someone constructing a song from samples in Fruity Loops, but, like, before it's been completed. Like, this is, like...
Right.
This is the Avalanches style beat, rough edit, .FLL.
It's the wrong kind of audacious. You know what I mean? That's what I keep feeling. That's like the feeling I get from this album is just, you know, when the White Stripes came out, they were audacious, right? Like that kind of music and like stripping it down to the very basics and the wailing, the screaming, the live performance. Meg White just very, very basic, you know, like steady backbone beat. That was very unique. It was very strange and cool and fucking, again, that the right kind of audacious. The audacious but that had something to fucking say.
It was still,
you know,
grounded with like really solid songwriting and technique. Even for as simple as Meg was, you know, the songs were very tight and very, you know, well constructed. There wasn't a lot of fucking around.
They were constructed.
They were They didn't waste time in their songs with the White Stripes, I feel like. They were short songs. They got the ideas out there.
And they were
super strong fucking riffs.
That song was almost 6 minutes long.
And it was a bunch of bullshit.
And it was a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And there's still worse shit on this album. And that is fucking bad, dude. Like,
and you know, usually when Jack White does long songs with his other projects, because they got a few, you know, the White Stripes have Ball and Biscuit is pretty long. And then there's some really long Dead Weather songs. But usually he's fucking ripping sweet singing solos on those long songs. And there's none of that. You don't get any of that, any such pleasures on Corporation.
Ugh, yeah. Yeah, blech, gross. I hate it. It's bad. Put him in a box. Put him back in the fucking
get
box.
Get back in the box, Jack.
Jack in the box. Jack in the box,
baby. Jack in
the box. Board him up. Get his house out of reach or something. I don't know. Board him in a house out of reach. Or something. I don't know.
I can't really figure out what the album title means.
I don't get it either. I don't get it. The titles of these songs, I tried to figure it out. The next one is like some sort of reference to psychiatric conditions. It's very... And this is not
this
a song.
Next song is not a song.
Not a song.
It's some
not a song.
Fucking bullshit. I guess
it's a fucking terrible poem.
Let's check it out.
Who even did this fucking... Yeah, wow. Yeah, this is called Abulia and Acrasia.
Unrepentant, implacable, and intractable. I abdicate with inexorable pleasantry. In this solemn refutation, this most earnest repudiation, I shall not negate that which I state irrevocably.
How are the Bloomingdales?
The long lost final episode of Prairie Home Companion. You know,
God.
After the
boarding house on the Prairie Home Companion. Sorry. I can't. I don't even know how to comment on this. I almost don't want to. It's almost unanalyzable because it's not a fucking song. It is apparently a poem that Jack White wrote, and he has some Australian blues singer named C.W. Stone King. What a cool name. And his quote about the song is, quote, "I wrote all those complicated words because I wanted to bring out Stone King's vocal tones as much as possible. I love his speaking voice. It's almost like this milkman from the 1930s, ... But the character is really just asking for a cup of tea."
Yeah. Yeah, Jack White is very much like, you know, like high school dropout who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Absolutely. You know, Jordan Peterson
guy.
Energy.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, he's a PhD, but all the people who listen to him.
This is one of those type...
Extreme abjuration.
One of his
that
pieces.
Which I repudiate so vehemently, adamantly, unrepentant, implacable, and intractable. I abdicate with inexorable pleasantry. I will say it's kind of fun to talk like a 1920s, you know, dandy.
Yeah,
but
it's very dead. We all love Deadwood and we all own a thesaurus. You know, it's not, I'm not impressed.
No, God, this is like, oh man, it's very much those like, you know, like very like oiled up beard, like lumber sexual fucking... Like,
oh, bacon,
you know,
boys.
Professional. Yes, exactly. The bacon boys, the professional mustache twirlers, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Axe throwing bar enthusiasts.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Fucking, yeah, I fucking hate it. I hate it. Like, meadery. I'm going to open a meadery.
Yeah.
Fucking energy.
I'm going to get jacked and wear suspenders.
Oh, my God.
Like
I'm ready.
Bowler hat.
I guess this could be my identity. This will work, right? No one's gonna ask questions about
I mean, I feel like Jack White really is who a lot of those guys aspire to be, so it's kind of a cycle, isn't it? You know, Jack White is like a bowler hat guy icon, you know.
Literally. Or is he more fedora than bowler? I don't know.
You know, I feel like he switches it up. Fedora, bowler, pork pie. I think anything with a full brim, he's willing to give it a try. He's bought out the haberdashery.
He owns one. Yeah. It's a craft meadery / haberdashery / I would say like artesian dog park, but we know that he hates dogs. So
no, he likes dogs, but cats don't blow his mind.
Oh, okay.
But also, so what is it to own a dog, really? I think you're joking, right? But I would believe you if that was true. If he had a meadery. In
Absolutely.
Nashville. I know he's got a record store in / studio in Memphis, or is it in Nashville?
Nashville. In he's building. Apparently, he's been building different studios in Detroit and Nashville and
some of that's
now
cool.
He's getting
vinyl releases. He did that Mozart song that he put ICP on and released for vinyl. Record store Friday or whatever.
Apparently, I just did a little cursory Google search just to see what the latest news on Jack White is, and the most recent article about him in UpRocks is about how he's now getting into NFTs. So,
oh, nice. Better you got to be bullish,
Paris Hilton.
Bro. You got to be bullish on NFTs and crypto, bro. That's the next level. That's what the next place we're all going. Everything's automation. We're just gonna make money for a living off of computers.
But
off
apparently
JPEGs.
But he's also the same guy in the same fucking breath who's telling the kids to get off their phones and off his lawn. Like, why? Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, he's very much that type of dude. I mean, throughout, he's always shown exactly who he is, and sometimes it's cool. Like, he's got this manic workhorse thing, but also sometimes it's extremely fucking dorky. He's clearly a huge, pale, pasty dork who wears fucking
fedoras,
outfits from the haberdashery.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
and Abulia and Acrasia. I mean, of course, this is we should have known. We should have known. Hypermesophoniac.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
How about this one?
How about it? How about it?
How about this one?
Yeah, here we go.
Fuck. So I feel like in my right ear there's someone playing an NES game where they're trying to pilot a spaceship and they just can't get it off the ground. It's going beep woo beep woo. It's just stop and the beep. I'm picturing that's the brakes on the NES game. That's how the sound processor, does the brakes. Beep woo. And in the other ear, there's a fish. No, not even fish. It's not even as pleasant as a fish song in the left
listen
ear.
Listen to that sentence. Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. Continue. Yeah, it's like that fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but on the bad acid, some bad Sesame Street fucking kazoo guitar. And it's just, it feels like the entire album is a really bad one-man improv show that he's making up on the spot and none of the jokes are landing and none of the content transitions effectively.
She's trying to do a Reggie Watts thing with a loop pedal, but it's stuck playing this loop that he didn't mean to play and he can't turn it off. So he's just trying to improv around it. It's fuck, how do I stop this thing going? Vroom, beep, vroom, beep, vroom, this terrible loop. I don't know. It's the drums are shaky and I don't know. I guess he's just trying to be really avant-garde, But again, it just it's another one that just goes nowhere. Goes nowhere. Nothing never gets off the ground. Just like the spaceship I was hearing and imagining from the NES game. Never gets off the ground. Never goes anywhere.
Well, and apparently, like, I think, like, the whole thing is, again, it's intentional, of course, Mike, and you're welcome. The name of the song is called
Hypermisophoniac.
Hypermisophoniac, which is a reference to misophonia, which is, you know, the natural kind of, like, the feeling of disgust you get. And I definitely have this. Like, I hate mouth noise. Like, people eating with their mouth open or like, I even though I do it sometimes, not often, it's obvious. Yeah, like, you know, I don't like that. So what he did was he was like, I'm gonna make a whole song like that, baby. Like, buckle up, you fucking suckers.
I'm gonna make a song completely unlistenable on purpose for
on
art.
Purpose, dude. He developed an interest in misophonia, which inspired him to create this song out of intentionally annoying sounds, including the sound of his son's fidget cube toy. So that might be
Jesus Christ.
Be the sound, dude. And he says, quote, there are these people who have a hatred of sound, and certain sounds drive them to tears, White said. I thought, what if we took annoying sounds with a recording, annoying musical sounds, and tried to make something beautiful out of them?
Mm-hmm.
This is the attempt of making something beautiful out of them. This is the fucking...
All right, F. You get an F.
You get an F.
Making something beautiful assignment.
Oh, man.
This is a fail. This is like 40%. You know, at best, maybe you got me like three questions right on the making it sound beautiful test, because it sounds horrible. It is a horrible, horrible song.
Apparently, did you know about Jack White and like his ex-wife and a restraining order?
No.
What a surprise.
Is this an episode of Is This Person a Piece of Shit?
Oh, unfortunately. Well, I know that he had to go to fucking anger management in like the 2000s for like beating up the like singer of the Von Bondies or something like that.
Was it the Von Bondies or was it the... Yeah.
No, right, it so was the...
What about was the Libertines? Didn't he fight him too?
Probably. So this guy's a fucking asshole, maybe, with like, you know, anger issues. He's definitely a narcissist. Apparently, the Black Keys hate him too.
Well,
interesting.
The Black Keys would be nothing without Jack White, so I'll take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently he had a petty fight with Dan Auerbach where he tried to get his children removed from the classes with Dan Auerbach's children or something. It's just so fucking
petty.
Dude,
that is such fucking rich people drama. That is some real Housewives of Nashville shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, he hated it. They, like, released some emails between him and his ex-wife where he was talking about how much he hated the Black Keys. But, yeah,
dude,
so
whatever.
Let's see.
He's
ex-wife.
Right, too. They fucking copped his whole shit.
Yeah, true, for sure.
Make,
so let's
like,
talk about this restraining order. I just feel like I got to say it. I didn't really know about it, and I was just looking through recent Jack White. So this isn't super recent. This is... 2013, not recent at all, but apparently, his ex-wife got a restraining order, barred the singer guitarist from having, quote, any contact with Elson whatsoever, except as it relates to parenting time with the party's minor children. And this was 2 years after they divorced. His ex-wife, Karen Elson, claims he was an unfit father, refused repeated pleas to attend family counseling, and claims the singer has a violent temper, and she fears for her and the children's safety as a result of this harassment. Barraging her with phone calls, texts, and emails, bullying her into submission. Awesome. Great. This totally fucking makes sense. Unfortunately. So
yeah,
that
I believe
shit,
it.
Yeah. Yep. So, none of that is necessary.
Fame will oftentimes make a beast above understanding.
Yeah. Oh my God.
On a long enough timeline, all celebrities become beasts above understanding.
Yeah, so, I mean, this music is bad regardless of that, but it is always important to contextualize people being bad.
Sure,
too,
so yeah, so. It seems like, unfortunately, as is often the case, is this person a piece of shit? Seems like a yes. Looks.
It's a yes.
Signs point towards yes.
Yeah.
We should take
oh, yeah?
a break, I think.
Before Ice Station
Before we get to the real... The real, like, I was saying this album is all fucking sinew and bone and no meat, but this is the meat of the album right here. This is the big, juicy something burger that you can sink your teeth into. And I think we should take a little break. I'll get myself a seltzer so I don't, you know, for I'll pair it with this main course. And then we can talk about Ice Station Zebra.
So I don't have any misophonia from your dry mouth. All right, we'll be right back. I might have to get misophonic and eat some leftover Chinese chicken wings.
Okay. It's fine with me. I don't have misophonia.
Does our audience.
I'm sure plenty of them do, and you know, it's not like we don't already have enough 1-star reviews.
Yep.
By the way, Stoppies, hey, rate and review us 5 stars, please.
They got us, man. The Imagine Dragoners, they got us.
They got us? We got it. Oh, fuck.
No, they just hate me. They really hate me.
Did
we
get
a
bad review?
Yeah, we got a new bad review. New 1-star, baby.
Oh.
They really hate me.
Oh, man. Heather, I'm sorry. We got to let you go.
I know. It's been real.
It's the only way.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys will soar to the top. Oh, man. I can't pay attention to it. But
it does
your
part.
Impress me when people go out of their way to write a multi-paragraph fucking essay about much they hate you.
I gotta check really out this review. Should we
that
read
level
it?
Of
Should
we effort? Read it? Oh man, let's see. Sure. Oh God, this podcast is neither funny nor adds anything of substance to the discussion of music. The entire episode was complaining. Oh man, I listen to other bad music podcasts that are funny, upbeat, and enjoyable to listen to. While this is so negative and seems to treat the thing as a miserable experience that they have to slog through to be done with,
it is.
It's sometimes
that's
it
what
is.
It is most of the time.
Sorry, we're not all hugs and sunshine, Cubby Bear 912. Fucking Christ, it was so harsh. I found it hard to finish even a single episode. Well, fucking fuck off. How about that?
I mean, look,
I had to slog through your review.
Look, we are not having a good time here on this show. I thought
that's
people liked that. I thought that
people
was the
do enjoy that.
People like they. You think they were?
We're supposed
do you
to be
think
upbeat?
They were having fun on Jackass? No, that show was horrific. People loved their misery.
They were in pain.
They were all in constant pain. That's why we tuned in. That's what it's all about.
I know.
If you're not in
I know.
For a Jackass type experience, don't listen to Make It Stop. That's what I have to say. Sorry, Cubby Bear.
Oh man,
this
I love
this is a show about our misery.
Absolutely, it's literally called Make It Stop.
That's what the
what
show is
think?
About. That's the point
we're
of it.
We're just supposed to be gentle. We're just supposed to allow shit like fucking Ice Station Zebra.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed.
Yeah, I defy you, Cubby Bear, to listen to yeah. even the 30-second clip we're about to play of this song and then put yourself into our shoes, okay?
Yeah, I want you to feel the joy of having to analyze
put
this.
Put yourself into my shoes having to listen to the song and talk about it and try to be positive.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's try to be a let's do it. Let's be a positive
try to even
a positive podcast.
Try to even organize your thoughts in such a way where you're not all talking over each other because it's not possible. If week in and week out this is what you're doing, that's what the show is going to be. I'm sorry. That's what it has to be.
This is Boston Irish cultural discrimination.
Yes. This is my culture.
This is my culture.
This is yeah, you think That's how I was raised.
I think a lot of people fucking just don't want us to talk about like politics and about the bummer shit that the people do. They want us to just focus on the music. Well, here we go. We'll focus on this music.
Yeah.
It's atrocious. This is unbelievably bad. I didn't know it could ever be this bad. Absolutely should have been on the worst of 2018, in my opinion. Ice Station Zebra.
This should have been on the list. This is its top 10 God. Worst song of 2018. It's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, here we go.
Here's an example. If Joe Blow says, yo, you paint like a Baggio, you'll respond, no, that's an insult, Joe. I live in a vacuum. I ain't copping no one. Listen up, son. Everyone creating is a member of the family, passing down genes and ideas in harmony. The players and the cynics might be thinking it's odd, but if you rewind the tape, we're all copying God.
Oh, yeah, shit, this is man. Fun. Is that the new Rage Against the Machine? Shit, that's rewind, throw that back on.
We're wow. having fun. I'm going to be so fire. Positive about this.
Hot fire spitter.
So much to be positive and about here.
Wow. Let's give it a rapper, rapper, rapper. I'm Jack White. Are you rapper Caravaggio?
If Joe Blow says, yo, you paint like Caravaggio, you'll respond, no, that's an insult, Joe.
That's an insult, Joe.
My fucking God.
Can I read a little excerpt from...
Hold on. I just want to say one thing. And then, yes, that Jack White apparently said to The Sun regarding this song, quote, I hate to say the word rap, but this particular delivery is almost like Eric B. and Rakim or A Tribe Called Quest.
Is that what it's like, Jack? Is that the closest comparison?
That is a boarding house reach, motherfucker. That is. We're reaching. We're stretching. We are limbered.
Yeah, I think you maybe on a good day could be like a fraction as good as Hesta Prynne, Jack, at rapping.
Oh, my God, dude.
But yeah, in the Pitchfork review of this album, they quote this song. You know, the parts we were just quoting, if Joe Blow says, yo, you paint like Caravaggio, you respond, no, that's an insult, Joe. I live in a vacuum, I ain't copping no one. Listen up, son, everyone creating is a member of the family. Pass it down, genes and ideas in harmony. The players and the cynics probably thinking it's odd, but if you rewind the tape, we're all copying God. And this is a review... on Pitchfork by Jason Green. He says, now quoting someone's lyrics to make them look silly probably isn't nice.
That's what Cubby Bear would say.
It might even be disingenuous. Plenty of sharp sounding couplets wither in the harsh light of the printed page. But White's delivery, if possible, is even worse than the words. The painful yo and Joe Blow, the coup de grace of we're all copying God, which White repeats, eager to rub it in, is a thumb in the eye. What does he think he's doing? What does he want us to think he's doing? All is mystery except your overwhelming desire to turn away.
Eric B. and Rakim. There's so much to deal with here. It's something that needs to be dealt with. Needs to be disciplined.
Yeah, it's a very 21 Pilots style song, you know, with the rapping and with the subject matter really being about, like, you know, you can't, you know, be easily labeled or put into a box, you know. It's, you know, and you can't, and people try to put you in a box by claiming that you're just ripping off better bands and just like copying old trends. But like, actually, we're just all artists are just copying God, you know? It's all part of the same, we're all part of the same family, and we're copying God, you know? And you just add your own piece to the puzzle, to God's puzzle. It's very
quite a puzzle piece.
It's quite puzzling. It's got the Christian, the overbearing Christianness of 21 Pilots, along with their like arrogance, like I'm gonna, you know, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Exactly. You know, they're,
you know, Jack White's very own version of Rage Against the Machine here, saying, "We come on, you can lick the stamps, and we could put together a portfolio and sing Hallelujah in stereo. If we find a baby, let her into the fold, but keep the car running on molten gold. We got the fever, and there ain't no cure, girl. Take out insurance if you ain't too sure, girl. We do things that lovers do well. Never have to ever hear the rings of school bells."
What? Sorry, I sound like Jack White. What? Wow. Plaid jeans, no cellular phone. All the time in the world, no twilight zone. My time is mine, and they know they can't. This is like my Pat Boone, but he's Pat Booning all over the place on this.
Pat Boone is fucking wrapped circles around Jack.
I know, dude. Like, JB told me got to hit it and quit it. So there's this James Brown reference, of course. In case you didn't know, did you know that the origin of this song was apparently that he had written this for a scrapped, wonder why, joint album that he had wanted to put out with Jay-Z in 2009?
Oh, wow. Collision Course Volume 2.
Yeah, right. Listen, Collision Course is sick.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking limp. I mean, Linkin Park and Jay-Z, like that numb like remix. It's hot fire. But this is just.
Yeah, we need the sequel. We need the sequel with Jack White. The JW sequel.
Oh man.
Why did that never happen? Get on that.
Yeah, he MTV just said for some reason, quote, it just never culminated and we didn't finish. But this was something I played drums, piano, guitar, and bass on as an idea for Jay-Z to maybe spur him on, to inspire him and do something. Yeah, it inspired him.
So this was Jack White doing his best
something
Jay-Z.
Else. This was him trying to get Jay-Z to collaborate with him.
This is the song that he ghost wrote for Jay-Z that Jay-Z said, yeah, I'm going to have to pass.
That's a hard pass from Hove.
If Joe Blow says you paint like Caravaggio.
Caravaggio.
Young. I ain't copping no one.
Oh, man. Eric B. and Rakim. I mean, eat your heart out.
Yeah. This is the worst.
This is so bad.
This is a terrible song. This is a really, really, really bad song.
It's fucked up. It's very fucked
it
up.
It sucks. It makes me real mad at Jack White. Who I give him a pass for a lot, I feel like. I give him a pass for a lot of the weird shit
he
says in interviews.
The hats.
For
the domestic
troubles. Apparently domestic troubles. You know, I mean, I didn't know about that. I don't want to say I've been giving him a pass for that. But I gave him a pass for a lot of dumb shit. I shall not give any sort of pass for.
Well, the only
Ice
pass is
Station Zebra. I'm not going to give it a pass
it's
for
a
the
hard
title.
Pass. Hard pass.
Or for the anything else. Nothing was done right here. This is an abomination.
It was done
How
white.
How dare you, sir?
It was done white. Out the box, baby! Woo! Sorry, can you actually restate that, but positively and joyfully, so that in a way that isn't so harsh, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I really liked the part
where it ended.
I like the part where it went dun 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 dun. I thought that was really strong songwriting. I thought that's a great riff.
Cubby Bear approved, baby. Well, I think we had basically exhausted ice fucking. The Mighty Ducks, whatever. What the fuck is
the Icy Zebra Boy?
Icy Zebra Boy. So why don't we move on to the next song here, which is called Over and Over and Over.
This one was the hit.
This was the hit?
This was the hit.
What do you mean? By who? Who? For who? When?
I feel like this was the one song on Genius, at least, that had the most views.
Oh.
I think it was the single that was the most successful.
I don't know know if it even was a single.
It was. It was the third single.
The third single. Okay. All right. Well, here we go. This is the hit. All right.
Yeah. It's all right. It's still got a bongos and like quite a choice, like the way the gang vocals are produced.
Yeah.
Very goofy Tiny Tim style the first two goes, and then the third time it sounds like a bunch of people doing a Michael McDonald impression. Over and over.
Yeah.
It's goofy. It's definitely like intentionally goofy. I don't think it all works, but I do think, hey, I mean, the guitar riff is good.
There's a riff. It's composed like a song. Yeah, they definitely have that tactic of like, oh, we don't know what to say. Layer in some black background gospel singers and, you know, very Kid Rock energy with that.
But I wouldn't even classify. I think on the first track of the album, he's got some gospel vocals that are like very much in that vein, but they're stupid sounding on this one. Like it's not gospel-y. It's like very,
opera weirdness, gopra.
Theater, like a theater kid inside joke vibe to the vocals.
The poor baby with the weight of the world on his poor, precious little fibula. What a stupid fucking line. My fibula and femur hold the weight of the world. Okay. All right. Is that in your leg?
Still just bad instrumental choices. Like a lot. And he's trying to do like sound collage. I feel like he's trying to be Beck on this album.
Yes, I included that. Yep, absolutely.
I think he wants to do the like sound pastiche, genre pastiche style shit that Beck does, or at least like used to do on like Odelay and Guero and stuff. But fucking Beck writes hooks.
Yeah,
Beck
exactly.
Beck writes fucking hits.
Yeah,
I know
I got
this
the
is
Beck...
the closest thing to a hit, but the closest thing to a hit has a room full of 22 people going over and over.
Over and over. Yeah. Yeah. I compared the previous song, like the, like, you know, rappy Jamiroquai Beck via Beck breakdown. Mm-hmm. That was, I used, you know, I saw that comparison for sure. I it's still so stupid. He's still these lyrics. And I'm punished for the passion, only telling because you're asking. And am I gutting for the tasking? I don't know. Are
over
you?
Over
you...
and over.
Nova. The rock and roller, the young and older, rolling back to the stroller over and over. Like, yeah, it's still cosplay Funkadelic minus like the world building fun and intention and funk, most critically, but it is at least a song.
Yeah.
With a riff.
Yeah, the riff does a lot of heavy lifting. I mean, for all the weird choices, as the nice pentatonic bluesy dirt of that old familiar Jack White guitar tone, it keeps it grounded.
Yeah. And that is absolutely what this album needs, is some grounding.
Yeah.
Like, this is not groundbreaking, but it is grounding, and that is what I would love to have more of on this album. It's very, very fucking groundless. His head is literally in the clouds. Oh, I get the album cover, man.
Wow.
Whoa.
His head's in the and he's trans now.
Yeah, and he's trans, maybe. I don't know what these lyrics are. I don't know if this is just from a poor translation, but there's also the lyrics, hollow body, wine belly perfidy. What does perfidy mean? Is that a word? It's not a word. More move like Isada Freshini. Who's Isada Fresh? I don't care. I don't.
They make luxury cars, like even more expensive, like Rolls Royce style.
Oh, perfidy is a word. It's a word that nobody ever uses in actual conversation, of course, because wine belly perfidy. So perfidy means deceitfulness and untrustworthiness. Okay.
We already know he's got that the Thoris at the ready.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that, as I recall, reading the liner notes to fucking White Blood Spells, White Blood Cells, spelled the word shore, S-H-U-R-E. So, like, you're definitely putting on some airs, Jack White. I know who you really are.
This is the source, the musical. Like, yeah. It's still not great, but this is it's a fine song. It is a song.
Yeah. I don't even really love it. I don't even think this is as good as like Connected by Love,
which isn't very good either.
I think it's a little bit better than maybe Corporation.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think so. But that's a very low bar.
Yeah.
That's a very low bar. All right. Let's move on to the next song here. This is called Everything You've Ever Learned. And what a surprise. We're going to get some more bongos.
Bongos, baby.
Let's go. God,
you want to reconsider everything?
Oh my God,
dude! Lou, what is this? The fucking fish white tape?
Oh, the white tape.
Yeah,
yeah. This is one white tape.
Throw this in the trash. Throw it away. You don't need to
with the bongos.
Show this to the public. You don't need to release this. No, this isn't for other people to consume, Jack White. No, you should know better.
No.
That's not what you do when you go into your little home studio and you come up with I'm gonna take a moment to call out bullshit on his whole thing of like, oh, I wrote this album in my head.
Yeah.
What is there what element of this song is there to remember in your head?
No.
Did you map out the entire bongo procession?
Accompaniment?
Yeah. Did you, or was it just you were like, I think probably the only thing that you had down for certain is at some point, you know, as a transition point, it's going to go, din, 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 and then the rest is just white noise of you yelling like.
White Noise. What a good name for
White Noise from the White Tape by Jack White featuring, 19-year-old Fish.
White Nonsense. Oh, man.
Are you ready for me to say words to you in this type of voice for 2 minutes straight over bongos?
Getting back to his altar boy roots, trying to take us to church, I guess. It's some fucking bongo philosophizing. I hate it.
It's trash. Throw it in the trash. It's throwaway, jerk off. It's bullshit. It's so much of this album. It's just a complete throwaway.
Yeah, completely. I mean, this is, it's again, not a song. It's
not a
spoken world. Not a song. Not even close to a song. 0 out of 10.
Yeah.
Not even a riff. Do you want to start a fire? Well, you can watch it burn. Woo! Do you want to question everything? Then think of a good question. All right, dude.
Do you want to reconsider everything?
My question is, why
are we just creatures for a while?
Sometimes I get a little crazy. Sorry, I can't. It's a self-parody. Ugh, it's unbearable. It's unbearable. Next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one.
This next song is also not a song.
Nope. There's a theme. Respect Commander. I will not.
The Respect Commander has entered the chat.
Woo!
even That's begin?
That's it.
Man, we got orchestra hits making a big appearance.
Those
on
Mortal
song.
Kombat synths.
Bong, bong. With like Superfly drums. Bongos still patting away at the bongos. Ever-present beeps and boops. There's errant 808 kick drums here. Just play a fucking guitar riff, you asshole.
You
just
fucking
stop.
Dick.
It's too batshit for Jack White. He can't pull off he cannot pull it off. He's not pulling it off at all. And it's not batshit enough to be actually like transgressive or like avant-garde or any sort of next level anything. It's just a big fucking stroke off.
It's a fucking, it's boring. That's like its biggest fucking, like, out of all of that, those collection of cacophonous, disjointed, you know, sound effects, it's still boring, but it's not boring enough to even be able to fall asleep to, because you get fucking periodic, like, buzz saws and then, like, woodpecker percussion. Like, it's a migraine. Bow, bow! Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
It's a migraine of a song.
It's a lot.
Migraine of an album. It's a lot and not enough. You know, and this is his quote on this song. On Respect, Commander, where we sped up the drum beat so fast, it's an almost impossible speed for a drummer to play. The engineer said, well, this is unplayable now. But I said, no, we're just on the edge of it being unplayable. That sounds like a good, uncomfortable place to be.
You're on the, you're right, just over the edge into it being completely unlistenable.
Unlistenable. Unjustifiable.
Absolutely. Unbearable. It does, in the end, sort of resolve into somewhat of a satisfying crescendo. You get Jack White finally, at the very end, ripping a solo with his dirty, gated guitar tone. But again, it's too little too late, I'd say, after what feels like an eternity of him running himself going whoop through a loop station, so it goes whoop 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 whoop, while bongos play, and it's just so much. Just play a little bit more. I just like go a little bit further in the song, just so we can see the progression here.
Here we go.
She has all my respect. She has all my respect, and I cannot protect my heart from her command.
Playing every instrument in the studio, everyone he could get his mitts on.
Ugh, dude. Maggot Brain, this is not.
Yeah,
all right?
I think he's trying to do Maggot Brain.
He's trying
brain,
to do Maggot Brain.
He thinks that's what this is.
Yep.
This is
how fucking rude is that? How fucking narcissistic is that, dude? Again, you can't do fucking Funkadelic A without funk and B without humor and C without the synergy of having a band that plays together regularly and knows how to build off of each other and jam. It's not called
it's a jam. It's a one-man jam.
A one-man jam,
it's
dude.
A one-man
jam. Jack.
He's gotten into the mine shaft.
Oh,
and he is stroking
God.
Off the mine shaft.
Oh, my God. Just jacking off, dicking around.
He is the Respect Commander. He has entered the chat.
Oh, man. Well, are you ready for another Not a Song? Let's listen to it. It's called Esmeralda Steals a Show.
Yeah,
and
this
it's
is the one I meant when I said
reason.
It's another Not a Song. This one's really not a song.
Not a song at all. Here we go.
Oh, how a crowd can melt when they've been dealt such a deliciously delicate blow by a barefooted fairy, not with a clang but a whisper, totally stealing the show. Fools desire distraction and not take to heart. Their faces to their gadgets fall south, ignoring the beauty of fog on a hill.
Ugh, I can't, dude. What?
Fuck off, man.
Fuck off, dude.
What are you,
yeah, literally.
These lyrics.
What melancholy magic has turned a multitude into mush? Mandibles drop from shock, an old lady at high altitude whispering hush. She slips off her white shoes and grabs a tenor pacifier from its stand. Oh,
a tenor pacifier. How about this one? This is the kids and their phones line. Fools desire distraction and not take to heart. Their faces to their gadgets fall south, ignoring the beauty of a fog on a hill and a kitten with a mouse in its mouth.
Pray thee tell, wherefore if phones but too much.
Twirls mustache. First of all, what do you think kids are watching on their phones? They're watching kittens with mice in their mouths. I'll tell you what, it's just a stream. My TikTok is such a stream of cat content, which, again, you hate
that
too.
Cats never blew my mind, but why own a dog?
I fucking hate it, dude. I hate it so much.
Esmeralda, one last time. Yeah, just give me, can you just, like, remember that song Black Math that was just like, why can't you just do something like that? Just play guitar and do just, like, dope. Like, he makes it seem so effortless on, like, every other project that he's really hit it out on. Even, and I mean, even, like, some of the experimentations you get on, like, Get Behind Me, Satan and shit, like, The Nurse or whatever, like, it came together, you know. It wasn't always 100% successful, but it came together in a way that this album doesn't even ever begin to come close to. It's totally...
It's this insane juxtaposition of... what, because you said effortless, right? This feels effortful and simultaneously like there was zero fucking effort. Yeah. not like a glorious effortlessness, like a passionate, like, you know, losing yourself in the music effortlessness, but like a completely like phoned in, I didn't fucking care enough to write a song or play my guitar on this whole album. And I'm trying so hard to not try. Ugh. It's so jarring. It's so upsetting. Ugh. And it's still somehow like this like rhapsodic philosophization and commentary on life and blah, blah. These simple
yes,
and poignant five words.
From a guy who definitely knows better and knows everything and has it all figured out.
I know the secret of life.
And it's not looking at thine phone. One must get in the mineshaft and plow away. Chip away at the walls of the mind and harvest the ore of your memories. And your creative output shall flow like... pure oil from the walls of your mind shaft. Pure as black gold.
White gold. White gold. Oh my god, it's fucking trash. It's terrible. Should we get in the mind shaft?
Let's get in the mind shaft.
The mind shaft. Whoa. Get it?
Better
will you.
Mineshaft. Mineshaft. A lot of people ask me stupid fucking questions.
I sat there for hours.
Stupid fucking questions.
Trying to understand how to construct a melody.
Still don't give a fuck.
My brain to my fingertips.
Cause I'm just Marshall Mathers.
And after a while, I hit three notes together. Same time.
Oh my god, dude. I just... Wow.
Man,
wow.
There's a lot of like vocoder vocals that we didn't get to that I don't think we need to get to. But that is the only thing we didn't really get in that clip.
I'm not an easy person to you. Living mind shaft.
It doesn't matter. Waka waka waka. Yeah, what's with the fucking drum machine again? Like, what?
He's trying to be Beck. He's just trying to be Beck. He's trying to be Beck without writing the songs, without writing the
Beck
hooks.
Funk.
He's
it's P-Funk with Beck vocals, and but none of those things. It reminds me, like, if I didn't know that he released this on his own fucking record label with his own fucking funding and, you know, completely quote unquote DIY, I'd be like, is this some Prince I need to get out of my label shit? Like, this is some like landing on water shit. But it's not, dude. It's his own label. It doesn't make any fucking sense, dude. Sorry. I guess I'm just not a brilliant folk philosopher like Mr. White, you know, who's just taking too many edibles in a dark room and playing around in a vocoder. Like, this album is for no one. And the lyrics are just like teen goth poetry. And like, I guess it's some, you know, echoey spoken word psych jam about Jack White learning to play piano in an abandoned ghost house. Very apropos. I guess
we lived in a ghost house. I played piano. There was a ghost there. I had a vocoder.
Oh, wow.
I got in the mine shaft.
I don't know.
I can't.
The interesting quote-unquote interesting thing about this song is that, much like the movie Clue had multiple endings, the different vinyl versions of this song had different spoken word intros. There's actually, he recorded 10 different spoken word things. The version that you can stream is just one of 10 versions, and to get the others, you need to get certain printings of the vinyl. I'm reading.
Who the fuck cares?
The different ones.
I'm sure they're extremely brilliant and really insightful poetry.
Yeah, here's really. One. This is a vinyl exclusive here. This is version B1731. I've been walking down by the river for hours, past sailors that have less tattoos than the average teenager. There's a man fishing and selling what he catches, $1 a head. I've been sitting near him for a long time now, and he's yet to look over. I have a strange feeling that I know this man, that it's me. I think it's me.
Ugh. Ugh.
The salt of the earth, the man of the people,
he's
Jack
really
White.
A fisherman.
He wears selling. That hat for all of us. For the sailors, to remember days when sailors had more tattoos than the average teenager. You know, when men really didn't have to be told how to go their own way, when they just knew the beck and call of the sea.
When they chopped their own fish heads and sold them for $1 each. Yeah, I think he was gonna go into the seminary. He was gonna go be a priest. He clearly that God complex has stayed with him because he's just ready to show us all how we're all, you know, we're all just craning our heads southward to look at our phone picture screens instead of living our real life selling fish heads on a dock. I guess.
I think it's me. Guess. Is that me?
I think it's me. That's like fucking...
Just like a regular guy like doing his job. Oh, yeah, I think that's me, actually.
Yeah, that's like fucking walking. Justin Timberlake, who like went to one of those fucking craft artesian meadery axe throwing bars and was like, I think it's me. Yeah. That's me. I'm a lumberjack.
He's walking down the yacht he's walking down the dock to get to his yacht charter wearing like a $900 scarf and being like, that man with the fish heads, that's me over there. John Mayer, before we step on this charter and go on a sexual assault cruise together, I want to point out that man with the fish heads is actually me. He and I are the same.
God, dude. Oh, man. All right. Too far? No. It's on point. I mean, cosplaying as fucking Jack White is way more entertaining than the actual album itself. I'm really enjoying these asides here. But I feel like we should move on to the next song here. Okay, we get these last two songs that are mostly songs. And that is a treat, honestly. Mm-hmm. So here we go. This is What's Done Is Done.
My ear. What's done is done. I just can't fight it no more. So I'm walking downtown to the store. And I'm buying a gun.
All right, so we get like a acoustic country ballad with some twinkly pianos. It's, you know, really... It's a song, and it's not bad. I mean, it's not like fucking kick out the jams, rock and roll, but nothing on this album has been. At least it's composed. The harmonies are cool. I don't know who the woman is who's singing with him. She's not credited.
It's Esther Rose.
Oh, Esther Rose. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the lyrics, this just ain't no fun. My life has become a bore. Yeah, we feel that. We get that vibe. We get that energy from you on this album, Jack White. You're bored as fuck, and we all have to suffer along your shallow pursuit of relevance through bongos and vocoders, I guess. But this song is fine.
I mean, I think, you know, it's a dark song. I'm pretty sure it's a song about a guy who is going to... do a murder suicide.
Yeah, it's like a gun control commentary song. He's like, he's
got nothing left in his life. You know, he can't hear the song that she used to sing in his ear, and he can't fight anymore. He's gonna walk downtown to the store and buy a gun. You know, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's like blues. That's what the blues is about sometimes. You know, the darker side of love and loss.
There's a story. There's a story.
That is what Jack White used to excel at. But I do think there's also a lot of still a lot of bullshit sonic diversions here. There's some corny electric piano. It still lacks the restraint that I think should have been there.
Right. Yeah. Even on something that should be just straightforward and actually could be kind of meaningful and poignant, he has to ruin it with these accoutrements.
Yeah. The first half, though, before he starts adding all the bullshit layers, when it just kind of sounds like an Alabama Shake song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather it be sung by Britney from the Alabama Shakes, but absolutely. I'll play along. But I'm never gonna like listen to this. You know, it's not like any sort of groundbreaking, you know, formula here.
No. But yeah, no. Definitely stronger. You know, a stronger outing on the album. One of the top three, maybe.
Yeah.
And I also want to stress, I still don't really like it that much. It's just
no,
fine.
For sure.
It's not like you're talking about, you know, classic Jack White duets. I mean,
Definitely no Loretta Lynn.
Yeah,
for sure.
No Loretta Lynn, no, what's it called? That last song,
Beyonce?
On Elephant.
Well,
it's true that we love one another. I love Jack White like a little brother.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on. He's, you know, he's always, it's just when you compare anything that's kind of okay on this album, to like anything, to like
it's
the worst songs on any White Stripes album.
Yeah.
It's just not, there's no comparison. This is a big disappointment. You know, I don't mean to discourage Jack White from, you know, trying new things.
Seeking his truth.
You know, yeah, from trying to
keep seeking.
Move to the, you know, I don't think any, I'm not saying, oh, just keep doing the same simple garage rock forever, but if you're
going
to try something new, if you're going to go off in new directions, take the fucking time to get to your destination. This is
right.
A whole bunch of fucking figuring it out and not actually figuring it out. You know, this album is a lot of, it's just a bunch of bullshit. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
It's a bunch of bullshit. It's a bunch of bullshit.
One song left.
One song left, and
this song was written by the
Al
music,
Capone.
The music was written by the Czech composer Dvorak, and the lyrics were written by Al Capone. The lyrics were bought at auction for a little over $18,000 by Jack White himself. These are lyrics that Al Capone composed in Alcatraz. This, I would say, is the best song on the album, and I think it's no surprise that it is the one song that Jack White had no part in writing.
Nothing to do with. yeah.
This is a good song that Jack White bought.
Yep, here we go. Called Humoresque.
Sunbeams are playing, flowers and trees are swaying, captured within your magic spell. If the children are dancing, lovers are all romancing.
Yeah, I think you just already summed it up on this one, Mike. It's a good song that Jack White bought.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all you can say.
It's weird how Dvorak and Al Capone kind of write songs like that sound like
Bright Eyes.
Closing tracks from Weezer albums.
Or yeah, that too. Yeah. I mean,
Al Capone,
I like
nice lyrics, Al Capone.
Cool lyrics. I like his vocal, you know, performance on it. I like that understated, that like high pitched, you know, kind of tremulous sound that he's got in his voice. It feels
a little vulnerable,
vulnerable and raw. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, I mean, he had nothing to do with it besides singing it.
Well, he arranged it, I guess, right? Like, he figured out, I don't think there's a recording that exists of Al Capone singing this song. So he had to figure out, you know, I mean, but he just sang the top line melody from the Dvorak tune, though. So, yeah, I don't know. He figured out what mood to sing it in, you know.
Yeah, good job.
Melancholy,
buddy.
I guess, you know. He got that from the lyrics written by these lovely lyrics written by like a stone cold murderer in prison, rotting away with syphilis.
It's better than Manson's songs that are some of them are fine.
Some of those are fine. Yeah.
You
know, there's a couple decent Manson
songs.
Home
is where you're happy. You know, it's fine. I don't know, but it, you know, it's really faint praise, I'll say.
Yeah, doesn't like, really make up for anything, you know.
No.
That has come before. I don't know where I'm going to land on the scale with this album. I think I didn't think I was going to give it that low a score, but it's lowered and lowered as we've gone on, as I revisited these songs. It's an album of choices. Like we said, it's a lot of bad choices and not a lot of closure.
Lazy choices that it don't even feel like choices. It feels like everything was accidental, and there's no accidental brilliance. It's all just kind of it flowed through me. It just came out of me, you know, and it's like, ugh. A lot of shit comes out of you, literally. It doesn't make it art.
Just another case of the missing bullshit detector. Someone who could have said, keep this, lose this, keep this, lose this. You keep working on this. This is maybe a 20-second part that you can add to a better song. You know,
we rein in his impossible genius?
Clearly he's had this before, though. I know for sure Meg White was the bullshit detector of the White Stripes. I know for sure that she must have had him throw out plenty of songs. There must have been plenty of... I know, just knowing Meg White's personality, I'm sure if he came in with a song and she wasn't feeling it, she wouldn't play drums on that song. That's just the way it would be. And I feel like, you know, he must have had a good bullshit detector when he did Blunderbuss, because that album is good. It's just something was lost here. Something is missing. It's subtraction by addition, because he's added in. He's played every instrument in the studio. He's done every idea he could come up with of new directions to take his sound, and it subtracted everything enjoyable about listening to Jack White's music.
Yeah, it's really low down for me. I mean, it's really hard to give him any credit, especially because so much of the things that, you know, even occasionally work are just like straight up derivative, you know, and that's, you know, not what you want to hear from Jack White, and who was like a maverick in rock and roll music at one time.
Yeah. Well, also, I think he's always been derivative to some extent. There's always been a lot of, you know, the classics of classic rock running through what he's playing. There's been a lot of Zeppelin and...
Yeah.
But
it's not Greta Van Fleet. It's like, it's some real shit. He takes it, he twists it, he turns it on his head. You know, there's definitely elements, but it feels like greater than the whole of its parts, whereas this is just, it's completely just like, okay, give me more parts, you know, I gotta drown out the feelings of you know, being past my prime and like not having anything to say, and I'm gonna call it, you know, an artistic a creative artistic choice, when really it's just like laziness and like franticness.
It's something that he hasn't fully figured out what he's doing yet, and he's just gonna put it out there as is anyway.
You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Stereo Gum article, I like this quote. He says, you know, Boarding House Reach sounds less like a detour into bullshittery, more like what this guy might just be now. It sounds like a man disappearing permanently up his own asshole. And that is what that's a scary thought, right?
I don't know. Please.
I really hope not, but it doesn't seem like he's had the kind of, even the bad reviews. Like, this is a guy who's kind of prided himself on having no shame. I mean, do you think it culled him? Do you think he'll have, you know, the moment of recognition where he's like, yeah, that shit was garbage and I'm embarrassed by it? I don't know. Or will he just lean further into the, you know, the honky tonk mustache twirling fucking Johnny Depp, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fucking performance art bullshit. I don't know, but it doesn't bode well. It's a really awful album, and I'm going to give it a negative 4.25, I think.
Of what quantifier?
Corporations. Inexorable pleasantries.
I like Beasts Above Understanding.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to give it negative 4.25. You know, it's still a 0.75 because there are, you know, he can play guitar. There's some good tones. There's some good notes that last. There's a couple songs that are decent. It's not entirely terrible, but it really is overall bad feelings are, you know, the not appreciating this art, this choice. Sorry. Wow. Sorry about it.
That's quite a score. I don't think I can go that low. I think when we started out, I was thinking I was going to give this like a negative 1.5 because I was like, for all its faults, it,
he rapped.
He rapped though. He rapped so bad.
And compared that rapping to Eric B and Rakim.
Yeah, and then just reconsidering like the stuff I did kind of like, because there's moments, it's just not enough. Nothing really makes up for it. I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna give it a negative 3.5.
Okay.
I'll give it a negative 3.5 dog nose price tags.
That seems reasonable. I mean, I'm always the extra mean one, but I really think, I mean, like the brevity is a good thing, and you know, occasionally it's not awful, but for a fucking Jack White album, that's really damning praise, I'll say. So
yeah,
I'm sticking with it.
-3. You know what? I'll do a -3.25. I'll go a full 1 point less than you, because I'll tell you what, I'm always talking about EPs. Connected by Love, Corporation.
Corporation?
Yes. Just in the context of that. And then, what was the other one? What was the one I actually liked?
The Al Capone
over and
one
over and over and
write?
Over. And then the Al Capone one.
Okay.
Do those four. Actually, instead of Corporation, just do the three.
Yeah, okay, all right. So three, and one of them is really
13.
Written by him. So it's really 2 out of 13. So what's the math on that?
All right, we'll keep it a negative 3.5. We don't need to rethink this, I guess.
It doesn't matter. Who cares what we think, really? I mean, we're trying to box them in, man. Wow.
Over and over.
Oh, man. Well, this was fun, even though it was really, really awful. Great suggestion from our stoppie, our friend, Jason Grace. We appreciate you bringing this to our attention. We also blame you for all of our problems. But this is a good little time. We have our next episode is going to be with Manny Raposo. We're going to do Billy Idol's Cyberpunk. I'm very excited about that. And then we only have a few more episodes until we get to our 100th episode and our season finale. But remember, if you do decide to join as a patron and throw us a little bit of cash in our little busking bowler hat while we're selling fish heads by the pier, then you get access to special episodes, an extra episode every month, including the months that we're on our season hiatus. So you will keep getting your content. And one of the things, I might not keep this in the episode, but one of the things I was thinking about, Mike, is that what we could start doing is we could do like live streams to the Patreon while we're recording over Zoom. We can do that as a live stream as like an extra perk for patrons.
Sure, yeah. Get all the stuff. Like get all the shitty parts that we cut out.
Yeah, the uncut.
That is our gift to you, Stoppies. As our patrons, you can get all the shitty parts that we cut out.
Yeah, so we'll start streaming those live for you on the Patreon, usually on Sunday evenings is when we record, so stay tuned for that.
But we'll also have some primo tent continuing to get posted up.
For sure.
Keep an eye out for it. Only $5 a month, $10 if you want to daddy dom us.
Yeah, daddy dom us,
and you know what? You also don't need to daddy
dom
us.
Put us on a leash.
If you want to just give us the money and you don't feel like telling us what to review, we're totally fine with
too
that.
Much too much pressure.
Too much pressure. You know, we don't want to put any pressure on you. It's all going to be completely consensual. But if you want to, the option is there.
Patreon.com/makeitstop. You can subscribe now. So, cool. We'll see you next time. You can find us at makeitstoppodcast.com or send us an email at makeitstoppodcast@gmail.com. You can send us, please give us a little 5-star review.
Please. We will
tell
read
me
it
you
on
like...
air. Show us please, that you love will... us. Show us that you don't hate us as much as
so many Imagine Dragons fans do. Or 21 Piloters or whatever they're fucking called. We love it. We love the feedback. We love the appreciation. It means a lot. So keep it coming and throw us a nice review if you can. So we will see you next time, Stoppies.
Bye.
Bow! The Make It Stop podcast is produced and recorded by Heather McCormick and edited by Heather McCormick and Mike Dunn. We are part of the Boston Free Radio Podcast Network and affiliated with the Somerville Media Center in Union Square, Somerville. The music for our theme song was produced by Patrick Ahern. Thanks for listening.